doesn't matter if you've been here for 15, 20 years, or whether this is the first day that you're here. It doesn't matter whether you're a board member, or you teach, or a Dharma leader, or whether you're new to meditation. Your contribution is indispensable in this process. And that's why it's really important for us to gather this wisdom, this insight, these intentions, and reflect on them collectively. Because when you see your contribution, that's the thread that you're weaving into this process. And it is, it's really important. It's really, if you can feel that sense that, you know, whether you feel that you belong or not, or we all have our own issues, but that you have a contribution to make, that is really important. Because when you're feeling something in a room, you're probably not the only person that's feeling it. And if you have the awareness to be able to verbalize it or share it in a way that brings and is supported by your practice, you're giving such a gift to the rest of us. You know, there's that, so there's a segue into the mindfulness meditation on lunch. There's a piece of wisdom from the Talmud that says, I think I'm quoting it accurately, but if not, it's a paraphrase. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And so the more we are as we see, the more stories we see, the more places in which we can connect with others, the more we actually see the world as it is, the more we see life as it is. And so this exercise during lunch is not going to be silent. If you absolutely need silence, then I invite you to do what it takes to support your practice. But, you know, mealtime is, cross-culturally, is such a place of community, family, connection, and sharing. So I wanted to offer it as a place of sharing story, of storytelling, as not just an art form, but as a mindfulness form. And just a little bit of background around storytelling as an awareness form. Because we don't necessarily think about it as that. You know, our life stories, when we are able to share them, even if it's a little snippet, actually creates relationship. It allows us to see where the similarities are, even in our differences, so that stories can cross cultures, it can cross ethnic experience, it can cross genders, it can cross orientation, it can cross class, it can cross all of these, you know, aspects of separation that we think we might have. And even if the details of the stories are different, which they will be, they should be, because each of us have our different lives. It's about holding the difference and feeling where you connect. Where is that empathic resonance? Where is that, you know, the Tibetans have a practice of exchanging for itself for other, stepping into another person's shoes. I mean, many of you are parents. I skipped that generation. I'm a grandparent, but I never was a direct parent. But even as a grandparent, I know, you know, one of these teachings is when something happens with the kid and there's some injury or something, or that they make a mistake. You know, one of the classic parenting things is, well, how would you feel if you were in their shoes?
And so this is the process of sharing stories that can be really a powerful relational tool. And that, you know, so this is, again, this has such a deep spiritual, you know, stories in a circle emulate Buddhist councils. You know, the circle work. It emulates sewing circles. My mother, I think I mentioned last night, she's 96, and she still knits blankets in a sewing circle. But it's not about knitting the blanket. It's about being in relationship at a time where, you know, being in isolation actually is detrimental to her health. So there's a way in which these connections and this relationship can be so supportive, even, you know, below our level of everyday awareness. I offer this practice of storytelling too, as a when there's differences and difficulties in the room. So I begin with stories, and there was a training that I was giving, not in a Dharma setting, and we started with stories, and we went on to the issues at hand, which were kind of difficult. The group was caught in polarized issues, and these two people were going into it. They were like, you know, the blame, judgment, and the personalization of the feelings. And all of a sudden, a third person came into the conversation because it was being witnessed by the larger group. And they said, "You've heard their life story. You know that's not where they're coming from." And it broke the spell. It broke the spell of that dynamic in that moment. So, you know, and just to acknowledge that a lot of, you know, in our Vipassana communities, in the mindfulness communities, sometimes the invitation is to drop below the story. And that's useful. You know, to drop below the story, to feel the sensations that are arising, not to be so caught in the content. It's a dance between the relative and the absolute realities that we experience in our spiritual life. That the stories themselves, it's not about pushing away the stories, it's about using the stories skillfully. That through the mechanism of story, Rachel Naomi Remen says it beautifully, everybody has a story. Sitting around the table telling stories is not just a way of passing time, it's a way of passing wisdom. Hidden in all the stories is the one story. The more we listen, the clearer that story becomes, our true identity, who we are, why we're here, what sustains us, is in each story. That actually is a practice of anatta. Seeing beyond who we think we are and feeling into who are we collectively. If we use our mindfulness practice, if we don't get lost in the details of the story. So it's not about sharing a personal story because of a personal need. It's about the intention of a collective understanding. So, and this is a practice thing. Right? So, as you sit during lunch, it's not a conversation. I'm going to ask someone to keep time, even though they're going to be participating in the group. And so every 15 minutes, you'll shift. And I think, if people are okay with it, I think there was a group of six over here, correct? Did I see that? And there are two groups of three. Is that my right? So maybe we could, for this particular exercise, if you don't mind shifting so that there are groups of four, and that'll sort of even out the time of lunch. So every 15 minutes, you'll shift. You know, someone will agree to go first, and I'll give you the theme that I'll see around the story. If you don't take up the time, you don't take up the time. Just fall back into the silence and the sharing of the meal. And then the bell will ring again. And then the second person will share the story. And the story that I'd like you to think about is, or invite, is from your life, tell a story about what community means to you. You know, don't define community as a, it's not a definition. It's like, what life experience gave you the sense of community? Each of us may have a different take on it. So from your life, what's a story that has given you that sense of community? So a few, again, invitations that you monitor your own level of appropriate self-disclosure. This is not about needing to disclose everything unless you feel it relevant, and feeling that place of safe enough. And if there's things that you don't need to share, then that's fine too. Really speak and listen from the heart, so that when you're speaking, stay in the body. When you're listening, stay with the body as well. Listening can be such a profound practice in not preparing what you're going to say, not leaping into the future. You know, this is not so much of a tangent, but it's an addition that, you know, sati often is translated as mindfulness. But sati refers to the experience of citta, which is mind-heart. So in sort of Buddhist psychology, there is no division between mind-heart. You know, in Western psychology, we have this Cartesian model that you have thoughts and emotions. But in Buddhist psychology, when you're directing your mindfulness towards your internal experience, thoughts and emotions are actually addressed together, because the mind, heart, citta, is regarded as coming from one place. And so often I say it's mind-heartfulness. It's not just mindfulness. So use this mind-heartfulness when you're listening and also sharing in this story circle that will be about sharing the meal as well. So we have about 5 minutes to get yourself ready and get your food. If you haven't brought your meal, you know, things are as they are, that you'll have to go out and get it and return and come back to the group. So do what you need to do. And Patrice, could you take time? You know, every 15 minutes, just, yeah.
We shouldn't eat in here, but we have the community room, the lobby, the basement. I don't know how warm it is, but people could eat outside. There's some chairs that could be brought outside.
Yeah. If you could do the internal, I'll ring the bell outside. Yeah. And do we have all of the intentions for communicating? Great. And we'll come back into the larger group at 1:00. And if you finish early, then I would hold the silence. I wouldn't go into social conversation quite yet, so that the retreat continues through the meal itself.